spirals down.
Remember that sound? I sure do. Being a teenager, hiding in my room, playing all my 45s. That's XTC and Spiral.
And were you crying over the fact that you had braces?
Oh, yeah. I sure did have braces. I had that awful headgear that he had to wear at night, too. Oof, nasty stuff.
But your teeth now are straight, and they're whites or they're whitest.
Yes. God bless Dr. Was it Dr. Eisner? I think that was his name. Great orthodontist.
Well, it's a shame you're not a teen today in the Philippines, where braces are the latest fashion trend for young girls in particular. Because you've got these colored braces now with the colored elastic bands. And so it's kind of hip and cool to have braces.
No kidding.
Yeah, so much so that it spawned a black market braces industry.
Fake braces?
Yeah, you can send away for a do-it-yourself braces kit.
That's insane.
Yes. Yeah, and Thai authorities are pretty upset about this, so they're cracking down on it. But can you imagine?
I mean,
look how much pain you went through, and now kids are wanting to
strap
braces
to their head. Embarrassed, never smiling, being afraid to eat things.
And if you kiss somebody else with braces, you get locked. And
that was never an issue for me. Thought all girls' school did something to do with that, but you didn't have braces.
I'm going to just leave that one alone.
Thank you. You didn't have braces, though?
I didn't.
Did you have records when you were a kid that played stories rather than just music?
I did. My favorite, I had, I was a Star Wars freak, as you know, and I'm still a freak, but a Star Wars freak, and when I was about 8, I got the Star Wars record, not the music, but it was actually the Star Wars story, and there was this deep English voice that would say things to you like that, and then when it was time to flip the record, you hear, Clear Bay 327, we are now opening the magnetic field. That's the scene in Star Wars when the Millennium Falcon's getting sucked into the Death Star.
Wow.
And so it would be this whole story version of Star Wars.
That's really cool. I, on the other hand, let's show our ages. I had Peter and the Wolf with all those different instruments and the orchestra taking different roles. I love that record.
Yeah.
There's a guy that has collected all sorts of those records. They're all 78s. His name is Peter Moldavin. And if you go to his website, kittyrecordking.com, and record, by the way, is spelled with a K, kittyrecordking.com, you can hear some of them. Like, it's me, Pinky Lee.
It's me, my name is Pinky Lee. I skip and run, bring lots of fun to every he and she. If you feel blue, here's all you have to do. Just yell for me and 1, 2, 3, I'll make the blues skidoo. Come on to Pinky Town, you'll never see a frown. Be happy as a clown with a boom, tada, boom, boom. It's plain to see that you can tell it's me by my checkered hat and checkered coat. My funny giggle in my throat. My silly dad's like a billy goat.
Pinky Lee. He was popular, apparently, during the 50s. He had a TV show.
Go figure.
Yeah, I know. But that's off Peter Moldavin's website. Peter, how many children's records do you have?
Well, at last count, Kelly, it was approaching 10,000, not counting duplicates, 95% of which are, as you said, 78 RPM, the older style.
It sounds like you're talking to us off of 78 RPM. We got the record scratch going on, but we'll work through it.
Oh, you have the ambiance of this crackle in the background. Yeah. Well, fortunately, I don't hear it, but we'll just go with it.
Yes, we will.
There's that vintage record sound. I think it's quite brilliant, frankly. But so how did you come up with so many of these? How did you find them all?
Well, when I started collecting, which was in the early 90s, nobody that I know of was collecting in an organized way, so I started advertising in some antique papers and so on and so forth. And everyone who had these records had no place to sell them because there's not an organized hobby, or there wasn't. So I started receiving large collections in the mail. And within a few years, I realized that I probably had the largest collection in the world. And it just went from there. It took a life of its own.
So on your site, you tell people that you'll make them a CD of a record that they want. So what are people's reactions when they call you and you actually have the record that they're looking for?
I just want to qualify that I'll make a CD copyright permitting.
Okay.
Although most of these records, even though they may be under copyright, nobody even knows where the owners or authors are. But having said that, yes, I do get a wonderful variety of reactions, ranging from screeches and sobs and shouts, and I can't believe it, I've been looking for it for 10, 20, 30 years, you know, and it goes on like that. And it's quite gratifying, as you can imagine, to be in that position when they've looked everywhere else that they can think of, and then they find me. And like one of the TV commercials used to say, yeah, we've got that.
Okay.
That's what I can say.
Great.
Well, I'd be thrilled if you had my old Star Wars record. You know if you got that one?
Well, I probably don't, because that would be either on a 33 long playing or 45. It would be too recent for my collection.
Yeah, okay.
The 78 RPM was phased out probably by about 1960, 1961 in the United States, if not earlier. And Star Wars, I believe, came after that. Like
yes.
68.
So what's the number one request that you get?
There's a quirky tale called the Chirkin Deuce, which is a word to describe an animal that's born in a barn that's part turkey, chicken, duck, and goose. Don't ask me how that happened. maybe it was in Nevada near an atomic testing site. No one's ever figured that out. But it's a wonderful story. Have you heard it?
Well, we're going to actually play a little sample for our audience. So here we go. Here is a bit of the number one request, the Chirkin Deuce.
This is my story on the Chirkin Deuce. Pot chicken, turkey, duck and goose. Chirkin Deuce, Chirkin Deuce, Chirkin Deuce, Chirkin Deuce. It all happened many years ago on a farm near Rexton. The chicken had laid an egg, but what an egg. Everyone agreed it was the biggest egg they had ever seen. The chicken sat on the egg until she got tired of sitting. Then the turkey sat on the egg until she got tired. Then the duck sat on it. Then the goose. But when the goose got tired, the chicken sat on it again. No sooner had she taken her place on the egg than they all heard a strange, loud, frightening noise. The egg was hatching. They all huddled there, waiting to see what would happen next. The shell broke open, and out came... Hello, folks. Howdy-dee. Don't be scared. It's only me.
You look very peculiar.
What kind of legs are those?
What kind of a head?
What kind of bill is that?
What kind of a body is that? That's a Chirkin Deuce, obviously. What is it, Peter, that you think hits home with people about these records?
Well, if you're referring to the Chirkin Deuce, of course, it's a wonderful, heartwarming story of having a tolerance for someone that doesn't look like you or may not be so attractive looking. The main song in that record is "It Depends on How You Look at Things." You know, he compares himself to maybe a hippopotamus or something else. But the Chirkin Deuce is this oddball creature that winds up saving the barnyard from the fox, and all of a sudden everyone likes him. But he says at the end, well, don't like me for what I did, like me for what I am.
Nice.
Mm.
So it does appeal to the innate goodness in humanity to make a flowery statement about it.
But in general, when people reconnect with these albums, as you're saying, it's a big hit, and I'm just wondering why that is such
Well, you know, it's interesting. I grew up in that era of the Chirkin Deuce, which came out in 1946, dating myself here as a baby boomer. And I don't remember that record myself as a kid. But there were certain records that were very popular, and people just relate back to a happier time in their childhood or when childhood meant something special to them. And this is one of, many hundreds of records that I get requests for, but it's the most popular one. Nostalgia just is a very powerful intoxicant, I guess.
We're going to play one more. We're going to play Jimmy Stewart reading a story about Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. Can you just tell us a little bit about that one?
That's wonderful. Well, a lot of records I have are recorded by famous personalities, radio and TV. In many cases, they only recorded one or two albums, which was the case with Jimmy Stewart, who recorded four stories of Winnie the Pooh, which Disney had the artwork on it, but of course Disney did not create the stories. I don't know too much about the background of how they got Jimmy to sign up to do it, but it's a wonderful storytelling. If you play it, you'll see.
All right. Thanks so much, Peter, and thanks for your website. It's great fun. So, all right, let's hear a little bit of Jimmy Stewart with Winnie the Pooh.
This is a story about Winnie the Pooh.
That's me, you know.
and Christopher Robin and Piglet and Eeyore and Kanga and Roo.
Yes,
and...
but who is it mostly about?
Well, it's mostly about Winnie the Pooh.
That's me, you know.
And a certain other animal.
Huh? Equally as important as me?
Well, yes, but you still have the very important job of signaling the turn of the page. So, let's get on with our story. It all started while Winnie the Pooh was asleep. And suddenly, he woke up in the middle of the night and listened. What can it be, thought Pooh. He looked in the place he kept his jar of honey, just to make sure, and then he opened the door.
Hello?
Oh, we're going to leave you in suspense there of what Winnie the Pooh finds.
Oh, Mary, Mary. You want the moon, Mary?
Jimmy Stewart with Winnie the Pooh. If you want to check out any of the records, you can go to that website, kittyrecordking.com. All K's in kitty, in record, where the C normally would be, and in king. That's record with a K.
From a trip down memory lane to a trip to Winnipeg, this is Winnipeg's music.